Welcome to the Embodiment Conference 2020, also on behalf of the whole team behind the scenes. Thank you for your attention to another amazing presentation about intimacy and relationship. My name is Ilan Stefani and it's my pleasure to be sponsoring this channel, as I deeply believe that aliveness, embodiment, intimacy, relationship are key to individual and global change. My ongoing somatic research is focused on more and more aliveness for each and every one of us. I tune into the fields of collective trauma, of intimacy, of love and rage, shadow work, and higher level of energy. If you are curious about my work, you might want to catch my presentation on this channel as well as on the main stage. And you can also head over to my website, ilanstefani.com. My methods have been described as an embodiment training for warriors. However, you are so welcome to find out yourself. I teach online and in person. I teach in German as well as in English. Thank you for your attention and please enjoy the following presentation.
All right, so I will introduce Sanja Alaya. So Sanja Alaya is a German sexual empowerment and somatic life coach and is a certified sexological body worker, kinky tantrica and workshop facilitator, nomad and dance addict. Before in her description, it said Berlin based, but she is now in Portugal. So nomad is now coming through stronger. she's been learning from various teachers and growing into her purpose of facilitating trauma-informed processes using techniques and tools from tantra, Tao, shadow work, conscious kink, tantra massage, qi nai sang, de-armoring, creative consciousness, coaching, breath work, and meditation. This workshop is not a quick fix, but it's a possibility to look into your deeper patterns and their gold for you, to realize how your unconscious is ruling you. So in this workshop, it's experiential. We'll explore all of the ways in which kink and BDSM are practices to liberate us from shame and constriction and give us power to step into authentic leadership. We will have, there are opportunities to share your reflections in the chat box. And if there are any kind of practical questions, you can just pop them into the Q&A and we will try and keep an eye on them as we go through. However, if you would like more information, we'll give you links on Sanja and how to contact her later on. So with love and gratitude, I welcome you into the Embodiment Conference. Sanja Alaya, welcome.
Thank you for that beautiful introduction. So I invite everyone, this is what I always do in my own sessions, practices, workshops, to just take a moment to really arrive together in the space. So you can close your eyes and take a moment to really feel how you're sitting or maybe lying and making that more comfortable as it can be for you, as you want it to be for yourself. And then allowing your breath to slow down, allowing the thoughts to slow down. And feeling the ground that you're sitting on or lying on, feeling the texture of it, your body becoming more and more heavy, really sinking into it, melting into it. You can exhale with little sighs if that comes naturally. Feeling the ground and feeling the nature under it. Maybe even visualizing the whole planet, the earth that you're lying on, that is carrying you, that is holding you. And with an exhale, we are breathing down into the earth, imagining to be growing down some roots that can be rays of light or actual roots or colors, whatever it is for you, just exhaling down into the earth and anchoring yourself. With the next inhale, we imagine that we start to inhale from the earth through our perineum all the way up into the heart. And with the exhale, simply relax. Inhaling that rootedness, that groundedness all the way up through the perineum, through your pelvic floor into your heart and relaxing. Two more, really feeling that earthy energy. Inhaling from the earth into your heart, and from the heart now exhaling all the way up into the sky. If it supports you, you can also include movements of your hands, bringing the energy up with the inhale to your heart. And from your heart, with your hands up towards the sky. Three more, and feeling how you're anchoring yourself between the earth and the sky. Being held by those two elements, supported. And then we can take together a deep inhale into our belly, making the belly really big and round. And exhale with this little sigh. And again, inhaling into the belly, making it round. And exhaling with a sound. And then the last one, inhaling round into the belly and exhaling with a sound and a wiggle. And doing any movements that your body wants to do. Some good stretch maybe. For me, it's still morning. And coming back into the room. Yeah, beautiful. Hello, everyone, again. So I'm going to speak today about the power of transforming your life through tantric kink. It's a big title and it's a lot that I wanted to bring into because I've been working now on a professional level with kink since about 3 years. And on a private level, I started exploring kink about 12 years ago. So back then I was still pretty young. Now it's getting younger and younger and it's being more normalized and got more into society, which is beautiful. But back then with my 21 years, I was pretty young. And that was only the time when I started to actively step into the kinky world. But I actually have thoughts and fantasies that I can trace back to until I was 7 years old. And back then I didn't know that that was kink. I couldn't kind of, you know, frame it. But I noticed some funny tinglings in my body and it felt pleasant, like watching, it, for example, a certain scene in Aladdin, that Disney movie where the bad magician grabs Jasmine, the princess, at her wrists and puts handcuffs and then he throws her. And I was sitting there and I was rewinding and looking again, and rewinding and watching again. So I didn't have words back then, right? But there was something in me that was always attracted to it. And in the beginning when I started living it, and that was with 21, it was honestly merely fun and pleasure for me. So there was this like big urge that I had built up since many years and I just wanted to get it out. And with the years though, of going deeper and deeper into that world, I actually started to notice a shift in me that was happening. And nowadays I can refer to it as some healing, as some self-healing that was activated. And this is really where I'm getting all geeked out and my whole body gets tingled and aroused. It's like looking into the deeper aspects of kink. Like I'm always saying, I'm happy for you if your sex life gets better and if you have bigger and better orgasms, and that is all beautiful and powerful. But really the excitement for me lies in understanding how our sexuality and our life, how they go hand in hand, and how working on sexuality can really be transferred also in our life and how it changes things there. So that's where I got more interested also in kink and started seeing its depth, and eventually even realizing like, wow, this is a tool. This is like a modality that I have here. So some of you might have a lot of experience and there might be some total beginners. And you might be asking yourself, especially if you have not really gathered your own experience of all, like, what the heck can be healing about it? And one thing is really important for me to say is when I speak about healing, I'm not saying that it will give you healing, but there is a huge potential in it of activating your self-healing capacity. So never go into a scene and expect someone now to give you healing. That won't happen. And if someone promises that, just watch out. But for me, I'm coming from a background of sexual abuse in childhood and feeling very sexualized in my younger years and also playing with that. I didn't have the awareness. And the healing for kink came, everything kink for me came in when I started playing with pain mainly. So pain for some of us is a really bad thing and others can enjoy it. Some are neutral about it. And I just want to speak shortly about it because this is where I found the most power in it. And why would people actually inflict or receive pain? Or even enjoy it, or even get aroused with it, or even actually get orgasms out of it. So pain puts you in your body. Pain usually is a strong sensation, and it really almost forces you to be in the here and now. And it allows you that your mind chatter stops, your monkey mind, for a while, and you can relax. And there's nothing else you have to do but receive. Like once you've opened up to it. Many people who enjoy pain also know that after pain often they feel really euphoric. So pain releases hormones like endorphins. And that is really another big part. And it's not only connected to pain, but also to any sort of play with humiliation or some role plays. It can give you the feeling of actually being in control. So for people who have experienced trauma or any sensations where they've actually not been in any control, where their voice would not have been heard, like the no would not have been listened to, or maybe you were even in a freeze reaction where you didn't even speak up. This sort of, it's called reenactment sometimes of trauma, and it's also a modality, it's been introduced by Freud already, can bring you back into a sense of regaining the control because you are choosing it in this moment. You're choosing to receive the pain, or you're choosing to go into a scene where it's about, let's say, consensual non-consent or some other form of role play, but you're choosing it. And opposed to something that is being done to me without me having agreed on it. So with that being said, it's always super, super important that all of this happens in consent and that there has been pre-negotiation around it, because otherwise it comes back to it being abuse. So I must say I've never encountered any other scene than the BDSM scene or kink scene who is so high and precise and careful about consent, because we are playing with things that are potentially risky. So we're setting actually a really good frame and talking about desires, boundaries, fears, safe words. And with that then, again, as the receiver of pain or of a situation, or even as the giver, you know, as the dominant, let's say, and it's in consent, you can regain that sense of power, of control, of I chose this. I'm getting out of my victim mode because I actually actively stepping into it. And that has huge healing potential. Like You know, it might sound for some of you big and it resonates, and others might be like, yeah, maybe it's a bit woo-woo. But once being in a situation like this, it's super powerful. It's a lot also what we do in shadow work, you know, going into a scene and rewriting it by also sometimes giving it even another end. So tantric kink, and I'm coming to the tantric part in a short moment, often gives us the chance to really get out of our mind, to rewrite our relationship to physical or emotional pain, and to feel the body and learn to relax into it, and also to relax into unpleasure. And that can transfer beautifully into your capacity to actually hold pain or strong sensations in your real life. So, what now makes kink tantric? Because so far I've been talking about kink or BDSM. And kink, for the newbies here for you, kink actually is defined as anything that is not normal. So now, of course, this could be a whole other workshop. What is normal, what not? What is normal in our culture is not normal in other cultures. And I'm speaking from my culture. But the tantric part here is that in Tantra, and I'm speaking here mostly about Neo Tantra. So there is roots, of course, coming from traditional Tantra, and the tools are coming from traditional Tantra. But when we work with Tantra on such a sexual level, it's Neo Tantra. And in Tantra, we work with chakras. And often also we work with activation of self-healing, of healing capacities. And we start the healing from the root. So the root in our human body is referred to as the root chakra, the muladhara, the perineum, the spot between your anus and your genitals. And I really love this analogy, which is when we imagine a plant, and that plant is sick, like the leaves are sick or have some spots and marks, and we try now to pamper and to heal that leaf, that plant by trying to heal the leaves and giving them some medicine, and I don't know. If the root is rotten, the rest of the plant can never fully blossom. So the same goes for us human beings. When we start to work on our heart chakra, on our crown, on our third eye, like the centers of vision and connectedness and love, it is beautiful and so important. When we don't go to the root, it will come back, it will come back, it will come back. So the root is connected to safety, the root chakra. It's connected to safety of money, of family, of tribe, of belonging. That's also why in any practice, I try to ground myself first to focus on the roots. And we need that safety. When we don't have it, then it turns often into shame and guilt. And many of us carry a lot of shame and guilt. And many of that, a lot of that shame and guilt is actually connected to sexuality. And shame around pleasure, shame around masturbation, around fantasies. And I mean, of course, like, there's the church, there's society, there's our parents, there's religions, whatever it is, from a very, very young age, we get influenced of the shoulds and should nots and what is good and what is not good. And that imprints on us. Like I was, for example, quite lucky, like my parents didn't really, there wasn't shame around it. I'm not connected to the church, but still there is this overall sensation of it, you know, in the field. Germany is a quite religious country in some areas. So there's still some things even being imprinted in me, although I didn't have a stronger individual personal relation to that. And the first step here, what we can work with and what is the power then also of King is actually to work with our desires and fantasies and to become real about them. Many of them include kinky fantasies, so fantasies that are outside of the spectrum of normal sexuality and whatever that is for you. So the question for you is, are you actually really fully living your fantasies and desires? And you can just tune in and check in with yourself. Some of you might be really open and yes. And for others, there is some, I have this little thing, I would like to explore it, but it hasn't happened yet. And, you know, so if there are fantasies that you haven't lived yet, what actually are your fears around that? Why is it not happening? Why hasn't it happened yet? And why are we not just talking openly with everyone about our fantasies and ideas? I have a chat with our girlfriends and talk about this fantasy of like, yes, I really would love to have a gangbang with five guys, or I would love to dominate someone. So it's not really a normal coffee table conversation for most of us. Depends on your community and friends, and luckily it's opening up for some more and more people of us. It's getting more normal. But there is a lot of fear of judgment for us, right? There is a lot of fear of being judged and then being excluded. Excluded from our tribe, excluded from our friends, and therefore also not being loved. So we all want to belong. And it really taps into the safety. And all of a sudden, this whole topic about pleasure and sexuality becomes almost a topic of survival, right? Like, will I be able to stay in my tribe, or will they think I'm weird and just kick me out? So living and expressing your truth all of a sudden becomes really a powerful thing. So when you imagine a community or a life where you are surrounded by people who are embracing you as you are, like with all that you are, and there is no shame. Like, I had the experience and the luck actually to experience that. So to have friends who did understand me, even if it wasn't their thing, but they were curious and I was allowed to become myself. And from this place, I started to feel accepted more and more, and I was building more and more self-love and joy and hope and feeling that I could love life. So because I did not have to hide anymore. And honestly, like, if that is not life transforming, then I don't know what. So my invitation for you is now to join me for a little practice and to find for yourself. You can close your eyes. Sometimes easier because we're bringing our senses more inwards, not so much distracted by the outside. But choosing something, a fantasy or a little desire that may or may not have happened yet for you, but something where you notice, I'm not super comfortable about it. Like, it's not something I would just talk about with a friend in a cafe when I feel there might be people who are listening around me. And maybe you have a very concrete fantasy that you feel like, oh yeah, I would love that. And somehow I've been holding back with it. So tuning into that. Breathing. I'm always working a lot with the breath. So making your breath a bit deeper, sitting comfortably, having a relaxed body, and tuning into that fantasy. And imagining now a world where this fantasy is totally welcome and okay. There's many other people like you. It's actually a very regular, normal thing. It's not even special here. And then allowing your imagination to take you into a little scenario, into a scenario where you are actually living out that fantasy. Switching on a little bit your head cinema. Going into that fantasy and allowing yourself to be in it with this deep inner sense of knowing it is welcome, it's okay, it's normal, and you're highly appreciated for it. And now internally, you can open your eyes and start looking around. What are you seeing? Connecting it to our sense of sight. Who is there? Are you alone or is there someone with you? Are you seeing some details? Are you outside? Are you in a room? Are you wearing something? What are you wearing? Are you naked? And in any of those pictures, bring in your breath. If your body wants to move or make sounds, it's super welcome. It's absolutely invited to be alive. And from that sense of freedom in this scenario, just notice if there's any smell that you're noticing. Imagine that you're actually really smelling it. And what are you touching? What is touching you? How does it feel? Is it someone else? Are you alone? Is it nature, texture, air, wind, your hands, oil, whatever it is? Feeling the sensations on your body as if they were real and enjoying them. Again, it's allowed. It's welcome. And what are you hearing? Is there any sound? Is there voices? Maybe it's silence. Making it as real as possible. Maybe there's some taste. And staying some moments in this scenario with all your senses, feeling, seeing, smelling, tasting, touching, connecting and being connected to your breath and your heart. And allowing the feeling of enjoyment and pleasure, and it's okay. Breathing in once more, even deeper into your belly. Exhaling with a good sound. And taking a moment here to come back and notice how you're feeling now. And also know that any feeling that you're experiencing right now is super welcome. So you might be feeling free and joyful and liberated, or maybe there is a sense of sadness or sense of shame or guilt, and everything of that is okay. And some of you might have been feeling a lot. And if this is totally new for you, you might have just tapped into something and not be fully feeling it. And it is totally fine. We are all at the level where we are. But it is an option when we tune into our interior world to firstly connect to our own desires and boundaries and how far we want to go and how that could potentially feel. And from there, we're creating an internal experience that then helps us to connected to the external experience, actually. But that's why I really like to work with those visualizations and feelings. So I want to speak shortly about the fact that we, most of us, we know the sense of feeling free and liberated. Even if it's just a very short glimpse, some of us feel it stronger and longer and others feel it very short. But somehow we all have an experience of it. And why do we not always feel like this? Why is it not just easy to apply it all the time in our life and just be fluffy and pinky and rosy and feel happy all the time? So even with this little meditation that we did right now, we can alter our state. But often when we open our eyes again, we're back. And when we go into little journeys, internal journeys like that, our mind often is really still activated. So we think often that our mind rules us. And this is actually just 10% of the truth. So when we look at an iceberg, then our mind is those 10% here. And there is like a huge thing underwater, which is the subconscious. And this makes up 90% of our experience. And the subconscious often also we refer to as the shadow, because it's something that lies in our shadow as something that we don't know. And often we don't even know what we don't know. So it's really deep. Usually the things that we know are not full shadow anymore because we know them already. But these shadows and the subconscious is really running us. So when we look at repeating patterns or circumstances in our life, we often get a good clue what is happening or what might be running in the background of our software that we don't know. So what is showing up in your life repeatedly? Is there any situation that you feel is often repeating and it's really annoying and you feel like stuck? I don't know, and that could be anything. Like, I had this crazy pattern for almost all my life to just be attracting unavailable men. Or some of us are getting over and over fired from a job and they don't really know why. Or you might be losing a lot of money over and over again, or you're hitting a level, you know, you're kind of getting successful, but then something happens. Whatever it is, you might have this pattern of always getting your technical stuff is always breaking down. So, you know, we all have those recurring things in our life that just happen, and we're getting super annoyed. You're getting like, why the heck is that happening to me over and over again? So a big thing for us is to bring that in our consciousness and to not longer deny that because it's there, it's screaming at us. And the understanding that we humans, we don't do anything where we're not getting out some sort of benefit. This is just not how we work. And it might sound weird, you know, firstly, because like, what benefits are you possibly getting out of being fired again or losing money or not getting a relationship because you're attracting the wrong people? And for example, for me, what's also been showing up a lot was I was getting more and more chronic pain, like to a crazy degree. Like, I was literally on 3 to 5 painkillers a day for half a year because I couldn't function anymore. And it was a really gnarly time where I had to become like super, very uncomfortably self-honest in some stages, right? So why is that pain showing up? Why do other people have the same disease, but they experience half the pain? And I had to come to that point where I was really honest with myself and being like, well, like, part of me created that pain, right? And the pain did allow me to actually feel small and to be taken care of and to get support. And it might be something completely different for you, you're right? I'm just giving an example of my life so that you can get a sense of where I'm heading with that. And when I started to embrace that and to live that and to be like, okay, so yeah, part of me wants to be more supported and not always be the strong, tough woman, sure. I was getting even more frustrated because honestly what happened was I got more pain. So it was kind of like just coming more. I was like, but I'm doing the right thing. They told me if once I see it, it's gone. And why is it showing up? So it was flaring up first, you know? And there was so much suppressed pain that it started now to have finally a voice and to be allowed to show up. So it became more before it became less, actually. And every time now, because it's not over, it seems to be a life topic for me also, you know? Every time it shows up again, I'm sitting down and I'm like, okay, you're back. You know, feeling like there's this part of me that's getting angry and frustrated again, and that is okay, we're human beings. It's not about denying that. It's more about partnering up with all those parts of you. And I'm like, what do you want to tell me? Okay. Where in my life maybe am I, again, not allowing pain? Or where in my life where am I taking too much responsibility and am actually wishing for more support or slowing down? Because that is what the pain forces me to do, right? Or when I was always attracting unavailable man, well, I was gladly not taking the risk of actually having to be in a relationship and taking the risk of really being loved. So there is a benefit. There is a benefit that often feels uncomfortable, but it still is a benefit. We're trying to protect ourselves. So with kink play, we can beautifully tap into these dynamics, especially also when it comes to things that show up as control or not letting go, not being able to let go and surrender or trust. Or some of us have this thing that they always need to control or micromanage and know what's happening next and do it exactly that way, because otherwise you're getting nervous. So with kink, we can actually now decide to play with it and to experiment with it, right? So to explore how it feels to lead someone, to take on more responsibility, or how it feels to surrender and to trust and to give over the control. And facing those patterns in a defined frame, meeting our shadow things, you know, and there's all sorts of possible creations and creativity that you can tap into some role plays to play with different scenarios. But to tap into that in a defined frame is really powerful. And the frame we build through consent and communication up front, through sharing about our desires, needs, and boundaries, or also fears. Desires, needs, and boundaries, and fears. That's always a beautiful tool. And practice that. And then from that, we can build trust and confidence in, oh, actually, it feels great, for example, when I'm leading someone and when I know they trust me. And I feel powerful and big. Wow, that felt good. It might even bring up some other fears, but then we can attend to them, right? And it can be like, oh, that was actually a really beautiful moment where I didn't have to think anymore because I was just giving over control and the other person was doing. It's like, oh, there is relaxation in trusting and letting go. So what happens in my life when I learn to apply that more? So we have in King this beautiful creative toolbox to play with and then transfer that into real life. So working with those dynamics really gives us also the option to step into authentic leadership, to know what we want, you know, also to practice, for example, when I'm leading someone, to tell this person what I actually want, to give them clear requests or even commands. And it's really a funny thing for us humans to give, most of us, not all of us, to give a clear command to someone, to tell them what to do. But to practice that, you notice all of a sudden, oh, there's actually even fun in it and pleasure. And, you know, so it can build confidence for you. And the other part of trusting and surrender, that's also a really big one, you know. So I love to sometimes sit down with journaling questions, and I invite you to maybe write them down and then sit with them later on or when they come up in your life, right? Which is, for example, where in your life do you feel you're taking on too much responsibility? Or the other one is, where in your life are you not trusting enough? And then from that, you can ask yourself, how would your job or relationship, or any other area of your life, of course, but how would your jobs or relationship look if you would feel empowered to speak up? Of taking more responsibility and control, how would your relationships, your life look? And how would your life look if you were able to trust and let go in your relationships, work, money, whatever it is? And it's a beautiful thing to tap into that how space and to create a sense of like, how would my life look? What possibilities would open up? Because that directs us into the future instead of being like, oh, now it feels like this and I don't like it. But it opens up this vision. And from that vision, we feel a bigger sense of like, why I might want to work with that, you know? And it might be for you kink or not. There's other modalities too. I'm speaking about kink. But these questions are powerful for any creation or change that you want to bring up in your life. So let me check the time. Yeah. I'm running a bit short in time, so we're not doing this exercise, this little one now, but you can do it at any other point. And it's exactly what we did before, it's this five senses meditation. So picking a situation in your life where you want to be able to speak up more for yourself and to feel more powerful. Maybe it's talking to your boss, talking about getting more salary, or requesting something from your partner, and picking that situation and in your visualization going into that scene and then allowing it to become really alive and to look around and start, what are you seeing? What are you feeling, hearing, smelling, tasting? And breathing that in to your body, moving your body with it so that it becomes as real as possible. It's a really simple and powerful tool. Oh my God. Sometimes when I was doing those visualization things about things that I'm wishing for, I literally had them happening the next day. It's not a promise. It's just a little outlook of what can happen. So what is essential now to make kink and BDSM powerful and transformational? And what I found really is to bring in tantric tools and trauma awareness. So when I started to play with kink, I got pretty soon, and I'm speaking about 3 years, but still on a lifespan and soon, very bored because things kept on repeating. I was often in really staged scenarios and the same sentences. And there wasn't even like, I don't know, I was missing at some point the big why. It's like, yeah, cool, it brings pleasure, but nice. And then what? So I really got turned off by that repetition and unawareness. And it really made me also withdraw from kink for quite a while. So I was actually stepping out of the scene, and that's where I was finding Tantra and stepping more and more into Tantra. And then I realized at some point, it's like, wow, there's actually so many similarities. And from an outside perspective, first, it looks so contradictory. It's like Tantra and kink, they seem to be at the end of each of the spectrum of sexuality. And it's like, how can you actually, like, what is even combining them, right? But in both, we are working with expanding our consciousness, our awareness, our sensations. In both modalities, we can, again, it's not promises, it's cans, we can really get into altered states, into trance states. We are working often with expanding our own limitations. We're working with awareness, with being put in the body in the here and now, like what I was explaining in the beginning around pain. Being really in the here and now, being able and learning to hold whatever is coming up, holding sensations, holding the experiences, holding the emotions, feeling them, not running away from them, but actually learning to breathe into them, you know? And that's tantric practices where we do emotional transfiguration. And it happens in King when we work consciously with it. And a big thing for me when I started to understand, because there's words like conscious kink and tantric kink, or conscious sexuality and tantric sexuality, and they're really often getting mixed up at the moment, and it's often quite unclear, and sometimes also teachers are not super clear in that. But really the difference here for me, not only for me, but the difference that I found, let's say, is in conscious sexuality or kink, we bring in consciousness and presence and awareness, which is wonderful and super important. The tantric part of it is becoming when we start to work with that energy and to channel it into something higher. So that is what makes it tantric from my experience. I'm not saying this is the truth, it's my perspective. You can try it on and see what happens, and if you like it, you take it, and otherwise just put it away again. But tantric kink for me really becomes it when we start to use it to work on something that is higher than just having beautiful physical experience or an orgasm. So to channel that energy into an intention, into something higher. And that can be a little one, like I just want to expand my threshold of pain. In a bigger sense, because I want to be able to hold more pain or more unpleasurable situations also in my life. It can be, I want to create a lot of sexual energy, life force energy, kundalini energy, and use that for channeling it into the greater whole for more love and aliveness. So really finding an intention and making a practice rather than just for having fun. And that can be done by sitting down together and starting with an eye gaze and some heart-to-heart connection instead of just being thrown on the bed and starting it, which is also fun and good. Oh, you know, do it. But bringing in the consciousness and the tantric part, creating a balance and not only being on the other side. And also what makes a tantric, you know, again, is bringing in this awareness and bringing in the inclusion of all the senses. So putting on music, candles, incense, like really creating a sacred space. You know, it might be sounding a bit cliche with the candles and all of this, but it is, there is a purpose. It's like we're creating a sacred space. We're bringing us ourselves in the moment. You might even want to consecrate your practice, consecrate it to something higher, to a higher consciousness, consecrating it to the divine, consecrating the fruits and the merits of your session to the spiritual growth of all sentient beings. That's something I always do before every session. And again, awareness, breath, presence, moments of silence and creating that space, right? Like by not having a goal. And that is really another really biggie, not having a goal. Not even having the goal of not having a goal. That's a bit advanced, but really. So the only thing that we are focusing on is what is happening in the present moment. What is there? And it can shift and change any moment. And that is okay. And building capacity to hold that. You might like it in this very moment. The next moment you don't. That's why you have your safe words. That's why you can say orange. I want to change something. Because all of a sudden it doesn't feel right anymore. You know. So there's really many tools coming together. And While I'm talking, I'm asking you now, you can take your hand and just choose one part of your body, wherever that is, and just grab a bit of your skin, and you can pinch yourself and just do that while I'm talking. And you can play with it and move it a little bit, however it feels. Just do that while I'm talking. It will make sense, don't worry. So bringing in trauma awareness is creating a safer container by checking in. And I'm saying safer because if you're fully honest, it's never 100% safe, and that's an illusion. So it's good to be real about this, but safer is good. So do your check-in, as mentioned, desires, boundaries, fears, needs, creating a language around safe words that you cannot mix up a playful no with a real no. You might say strawberry or red or whatever it is you're agreeing on. And agreeing on a non-judgmental space where you're coming from heart compassion, where everything is welcome, emotions, and where there's space and receptivity for sharings and adjustments. So if you implement those things, that's already a really good thing for becoming more aware and preventing bigger things that might show up. And they still might, you know, that's another whole talk about how to show up when things show up. But you can counteract a bit by communication mainly, really. So while I've been talking and you've been squeezing yourself, what did you feel? Chances are high that you didn't feel too much and that it got a bit in the background because I was talking. And that is an example of how you don't want touch to be. It is not present. So now, we have 2 minutes left, I'm aware. It's a good time and one, but still, you can close your eyes and squeeze yourself again. Any body part that you want to choose. And I'm asking yourself now into that squeeze to really feel it, to even visualize the spot and to breathe into it. Maybe to even move your body with it. Like with the inhale, you're becoming a bit taller, you're stretching your spine, but you're inhaling into that spot where you're feeling the sensation, and you exhale with a relax. And again, inhaling into that spot. And with the exhale, imagine you're spreading that sensation into your body. You can spread it into your fingers, your hands, wherever it wants to go, but making it bigger. And also really notice that you are right now this person that is squeezing yourself. I am squeezing myself. It's a personal experience right now. And now bringing your attention more and more into the squeeze and become that sensation. Just shifting from I am this person to shifting into I am the sensation. 2-3 breaths into that. I am this feeling. That's me. And now we're taking ourselves out, going into the witness state of this is a scene that is happening right now. There is a squeeze on this body and there is a sensation. So you're becoming the observer. And then very gently you can detach your touch. Maybe you want to give yourself a short aftercare here, a little stroke, some love. And breathing into it. And coming back. So with that little one, and that's my last words, we were stepping into not needing any external change, but being able to just change our perception internally and building resilience for pain in all areas of our life, building presence and noticing it as an experience. So with the change of our inner attitude and the consciousness and breath and awareness that can take us out of the victim mood and bring us back to a sense of control and therefore into our responsibility, into our ability to respond, which eventually gives us the power of our life. Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Sonia.
Yeah, and there was a lot of talking. So if you have any questions, really connect to me on my Instagram or Facebook. I'm making some time to answer.
Yeah, thank you for speaking into that. And I think, yeah, the invitation of going into being comfortable with the uncomfortable in all of our trauma work and using kink as a way to do this is really, for me, it's a really interesting way to challenge our capacity. And so thank you for that. And yeah, there are some really wonderful questions. I will also post them in the Facebook group.
Oh, beautiful.
So that we can continue the conversation there. And yeah, so thank you for everyone. So the next session here, we have empowerment of the sexual interaction through body listening. And that's in an hour's time. For those of you who don't know, we have a private, not so private now, because we're such a big group, Facebook group on intimacy and relationships. And this is also a wonderful space to continue this discussion. We also have a coffee breaks portal, which is part of when you log into the embodiment conference. So we can also continue the conversation there. Today is the second to last day of the embodiment conference. And this is a wonderful opportunity for you to own the library for yourself. There's a huge amount of content. There's a huge amount of learning and wonderful voices like Sanya into practices that are not normal. And now we are normalizing them. And so I do encourage you to buy the recordings and then you can digest them in your own time. And this is a good way also to be able to do it with ease so that you don't need to rush through the content. I have one last question because I'd like to close the session with you, Sanya. But before we do that, actually, there was one question. Do you offer one-to-one sessions and working with clients?
Yes, I do work with clients in person wherever I am, and I do a lot of online work also. I also have online workshops, online journeys, so you find that all on my webpage.
Amazing, and thank Facebook. You. Yes, so yeah, if there's anything that resonated with you, please do get in contact with Sanya. And yeah, to close the session, what is your top tip to stay embodied?
It's three words. No, it's four. Slow the fuck down. It's slowing down on all levels. Yes.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Sanya. And thank you to everyone who is here. I will post the questions from the session into the Facebook group.
Yes, so, thank you.
We'll see you in there.
Thank you.
Amazing. Thank you. Have a wonderful afternoon.